I'm going to talk to you today about
intimacy.
And all the girls go, oh, yay, and all the guys go, oh, no.
But I want to talk to you about intimacy with the Father. And, you know, a lot of times, if you've been in church your whole life, if you had a service where you got your hands up, you thought maybe you really had an intimate time with the Lord, you know. But what I want to share with you today is God wants us to take intimacy outside these four walls. You know, when I remember people saying, oh, man, the preacher didn't even get up today to preach. We just sang the whole time. I just felt doodads going all over my back, you know. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And that's a part of it. But I want us to be able to really know why we're feeling that, who that is, and what that looks like in our life, you know. And to start it off with, you know, my mom and my dad were such great examples to me growing up of people who really loved the Lord and who really strove to get to know who he was. And my mom would always, you know, in her later years, she didn't have really good short-term memory, so she would tell us stories often the same. And the one that would come up a lot was her experience with when she really truly met the Holy Spirit or found out who he was or stepped up to the point where she was speaking in a language that she didn't understand. And she would get so emotional when she would talk about it. And I mean, she would just stare off and she would describe the apartment that her and dad had in Illinois after they were first married and they had gotten involved in a church, and the people there were so on fire for the Lord, and she just saw a difference in their life, and she wanted that, and dad, the same thing. Well, I guess at one of the revival services, dad really was filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and mom was like, if he can do that, I can do that, and I want what he has. And so she said she was sitting on her bed in their little apartment, and she was just praying, God, I know you, and I am saved, but I don't understand who this Holy Spirit is and what that's supposed to look like in my life, but I know I've heard about it. I want your language. I want closeness with you. And he so sweetly said yes to her that day. And she just described to us, you know, that was a game changer in her life, that she established a boldness and an intimacy with the Father. She stepped up a level and she knew who he was. And it started a pursuit in her life, a pursuit to know God. Not just to know God like, you know, I'm saved, okay, so I'm good. And I know God sent his son, he died. I mean, we all know basics, but she wanted to know more and more and more. And so I got to reap the benefits of that as her child, you know. And I thank God for parents who were pursuers of him, because it taught us that there's more. There's more outside these four walls, that he really desires to know us, and he wants us to know him. And so I just started digging, like, God, just show me some things, some practical ways. I could share them stories. I could talk about different things in my life, but I don't like to share my opinion about things. I like to share what the Word of God says. You know, so when someone says, Jo Beth, will you come and talk with me today? And I'm like, sure, but I get in the Word and say, God, give me wisdom. Or if they want me to pray for them, I usually like to start with some scripture. I just pray for God to give me truth from his Word. You know, God speaks to us in three ways. He speaks to us through the written Word. He speaks to us through the spoken Word, and that's through people that study and speak to us and share with us. And he speaks to us through the unction or the stirrings of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the way that I want to speak. And those three voices will always agree. They will never, there will be never be discord between the three. And they will never veer away from what the Word of God says. So it's very easy to identify if it's not the voice of God. So today as I talk to you, I'm gonna sing to you a little bit. Because my way of being intimate with the Father, a lot of ways, is worship. Worship. And worship is not just singing, but it's gathering true knowledge and understanding of who God is. And one of the ways I do that is through singing. And when I walk through different struggles, highs or lows in my life, the constant thing through that is usually music in some form or fashion. And so as my heart rate kind of, okay, God, I haven't sung in front of people in a long time other than a backup setting, which is really comfortable and wonderful. But I want to sing to you a few things, and I'm just going to picture myself. And I told the ladies this last year at the women's retreat. I just like to sit down at my piano and just sing and pray and thank him and glorify him and cry or whatever I need to do at that. So I'm going to try that over here today for you. But all of them is, the songs are just a cry of, God, I love you. And God, I want to know you. I want to know you. What is your personality? What do you look like through JoBeth? You know, and what you hear from me today and what you hear from me on the piano, it's my story. And it's the way that the Spirit speaks through me or sings through me or looks like through me. And that's not good or bad. It just is. But each of you have your own story and your own personality and the way he'll speak through you and your circle around you and your job and where you are in school or whatever. And so there's no comparison needed. It's just hopefully you can glean some of the places that I lead you in Scripture today and then apply that into your life outside these four walls in your own private time and in your life, and you'll become intimate with God. That's our goal today, so I'm going to share with you a little bit. This first one, at our wedding, Steve and I's wedding, when we start talking about what kind of wedding do we want to have, you know, one of the big, big points we wanted was we wanted the Holy Spirit to feel welcome in that place. We wanted him there, and we wanted the people that got to be there to feel welcomed, you know, to feel like they were invited, accepted, and they were welcome in that place. But ultimately, we wanted the Spirit of God to be so present there that when people left, they weren't necessarily thinking about Steve and I, but they were just thinking about the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. And so I'd found this one song. I was driving down the road and listening to Big Daddy Weave, and the song came on called "You Are Welcome Here," and it just talked about how Yeshua, he called him Yeshua in the song, "You are welcome." Well, I thought he was saying "Yes, you are," but he was saying "Yeshua." So I sang it, "Yes, you are. You are welcome," and I found out he was saying "Yeshua." But hey, it worked. It worked. So I don't know what I'll sing today. We'll see whatever comes out. But Steve was like, I would love for you to sing that at church sometime. And so I worked a little bit on trying to figure out how to do the chorus part of it. But it's a perfect invitation for the Holy Spirit that you're welcome here in this place. If I mess up, I mess up. Thank you.
seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back again. Who you are. It's by your faith.
about us all the time. Like the sand of the sea are the times that he thinks about us. You know how many pieces of sand there are? We're on his mind all the time. He's waiting. I'm jumping ahead in my sermon, but he's waiting. He's knocking. Let's sing that last chorus again. So, I love him. God, I'm here. I'm here, God. So just speak your words through me. Lord, I've got a story, but so does everybody else. God, help us to just fix our eyes on you today and every day and every moment. Lord, I give you my mind, my soul, my heart, my strength, and my words today. Lord, may it impart truth and life into those that are hearing these words. Lord, may they never be the same. May this day be a game-changing day in their lives, in their spiritual lives, and this will bleed into their physical lives, dear God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being a part and for opening our eyes to see the big picture, for giving us a heavenly perspective in this natural world. Lord, we trust and we believe and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I don't know how long this will be, so we're just going to take out, and I have to put these glasses on. Okay. At least they have two sides on them, you know. Sometimes Pastor Tim's only has one. So, that's funny. I'm just glad he doesn't care. He just does it, anyway. Oh. You know, the Holy Spirit that is inside of us, you know, when you ask Christ into your life, you know, one of the perks of that is eternal life, of course, but Jesus told us that when he went to heaven, he said, it's good that I go away, because then I can send the Holy Spirit, who's going to be your comforter, and he's going to be your leader and your guide. And you know, the Holy Spirit that's inside of us talks about in Acts 1:8 that he is a supercharged, above and beyond. It gives us a supernatural perspective towards this natural world. His comfort will enable you to comfort others. His knowledge will bring wisdom to your daily decisions. His love for the Father will show you how to love others just like Christ did. His guidance will direct you to God's will for your life. And the word describes God's will as good and pleasing and perfect in your life. In Romans 12:2. In Jeremiah 29:11, he said the Holy Spirit, he will lead you into the plans and the hopes and the future that God has for you, and which they are good and they are not for disaster. And then his attitudes can become yours. So this Holy Spirit that is inside you, he is willing and ready and able to give you a life abundant. And I'm finding out that life abundant isn't what we describe it. You know, if we had to describe life abundant, we would use our natural tendencies of what a life abundant looks like. And the Holy Spirit will help you realize that there's so much more than the natural perspectives of life. And so the longer you live, the more stories you have that you can testify to the fact that I'm living life abundant, even though I've had many ups and downs in my life, because I know who I am in Christ, and that Holy Spirit, who all that list I just gave you, his power, his comfort, his love, his guidance, his plans, his attitudes, those, when you become intimate with the Lord, with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, you will begin to look like him. But you've got to find out what he looks like. And his word, the way he speaks to us through the word, written word, spoken word, and the Holy Spirit, will start showing you those things. So you don't have to, okay, you don't have to prostitute yourself by just getting things from other people. You've got to find it yourself, you know? Now, it's okay to study and research and find, because I did that for today. I found, what are some other people saying about intimacy, and found some amazing things, and then apply them into what I want to teach you today. I was a couple of weeks ago, went to a meeting for Brazil. I'm going there in November to minister, and so there was a young man there that had ministered to us before and prayed over us and in such a powerful way. And he got to be down and visit our meeting. Well, he decided to share his testimony. And one thing he said just pierced my soul. He said, we must never lose the desperation towards knowing God. And, you know, it really hit me, because unfortunately, I don't know if you guys are like I am, but unfortunately sometimes when things get going really good in your life, you tend to lessen on your pursuit of the Lord, because things are going pretty well. You're like, okay, I've got this, I'm going, and I might lose a little bit of that desperation. But it reminded me of a time where, you know, most of you know my story, and, you know, went through it. My husband passed away six years ago, and just the story of that journey. And during that time, I mean, I was to the point of being extremely bossy with the Lord and saying, you have to be here, you know, and all that. And he was so patient with me. But I remember praying many times, God, I don't ever want to go back. You know, my pursuit of you through very difficult times, you know, taught me about an intimacy with the Lord that is greater than anything I had ever experienced up to that point. And I never wanted to go back, but you catch yourself doing that. So my prayer now is, God, on my best of days, I still want to be so desperate to know you a little bit more, and to just show me something else in your scripture, or who else needs you, but just a desperate pursuit. You know, when you guys, you know what, desperate's a big word. And when you put it into a spiritual sense, that's the perfect place to be. Desperate. With the knowledge and the fact that you can't do squat in life or for the kingdom without the Holy Spirit. You can't. I mean, you can. That's going to matter or mean anything. And so desperation is a new key word for me. It's like, God, keep me desperate. Keep me desperate for you. And it's the perfect place. Well, the word I felt when I said, God, what do you want me to share with the people at church? And intimacy came to it, to my, and so I talked with Steve about it, and he's like, okay. So, you know, when I studied through several different people's, what they were talking about intimacy, one girl said was, number one, you've got to, let me find it. Hold on just a second. She said, you've got to embrace the season that you're in, but I want to go to a different point. She said, you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And so when you think of intimacy, here's what the dictionary says. It says it's close familiarity, friendship, a close friendship, closeness, togetherness, affinity, rapport, attachment, familiarity, friendliness, friendship, amity, affection, warmth, confidence, the intimacy between a husband and wife. It's a meaty word. It's a life-changing word. It's a word that the Father, he talked about it a lot in Scripture, and he gave us a lot of stories throughout Scripture that really talks that he has an intimacy that he wants with us. You know, for example, the prodigal son, okay, the father loved him so much, the father-son relationship. The son said, hey, I want to spread my wings, and the father lets him, and he messes up, but he comes back, and what is the father ready to do? Embrace him. Pull him back in. He wanted that intimacy with his son. And the version of Scripture that I read on that story, it said, once he pulled out, the last words were, then the party began. You know, and I loved that. I underlined that and said that would be a great message too. But the prodigal son shows about God's intimacy. And then there is the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What did God want to do? What would he come down and he would walk with them and talk with them? He liked being intimate with them. And so, you know, at the beginning of time, there was intimacy. And at the end of time, there will be intimacy with the Father. But you know, in the middle, is God going to force intimacy on you? He's ready. He wants it. He's displayed himself. He gave his son for you. His son then came and lived a life that gave you an example of how to live intimate with the Father. He showed us how his son Jesus then took on disciples and taught them and spent time with them and shared with them this good news, the kingdom of heaven is going to come. There was a very intimate relationship there, a closeness. And then Jesus died for you. And he gave you the opportunity to be able to have an eternal relationship with God, where we can go straight to the Father with our needs, our desires, our hopes, our dreams. You know, I want you all to be in such a place, if you could glimpse, and I'm sure most of you have somewhere in your life, the true love of the Father. Once you experience it, man, God loves me. It doesn't matter what is going on in my life. He loves me. When you've got that confidence of that love, then you're not afraid to go to the Father. So Jesus is already, he has done that for you. I'm skipping all over these notes, so I'm going to try to find that because I know there's one really good spot on that. About that point I just did. But, you know, another example is the shepherd. He calls him the good shepherd. And so he has his sheep. You know, he's watching them. A shepherd watches them. And he watches them with love and protection and safety. And then some sheep will go and do whatever or get lost or get hurt. And what does the shepherd do? The shepherd gathers them back in, goes out and finds them. And so example after example after example that God wants you to know, I want an intimate relationship with you. And you know, in Revelations, we were talking about, will he force it on you? Well, in Revelations 3, you know, they're talking to the church. The letters are written to some of the believing, the churches. And it talks to the church about he would rather us embrace him fully, which means hot, or he would rather us just completely deny him, which is cold. But what did he say about the middle? Lukewarm. What does it do to the Father? It makes him really sick. Sick to look at someone who's living in that lukewarm state. And I feel like sometimes, unfortunately, the church, the Tim Hawkins thing kind of, you know, the church gets, well, if I do this and this and this, if I say this and this and this, if I go here and go there, then I've got a relationship with the Father. But outside the four walls, there's no intimacy. There's no closeness. There's no familiarity. And man, you're missing out. You're so missing out because the Father's there in Revelations 3:20. What's it say? I'm knocking. Okay? He doesn't force himself upon you. He can change circumstances. He can do a lot of things because he is God. But he can't make you love him. He can't make you walk in an intimate relationship with him. But he wants you to. He said, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. Because what does he want to do? He wants to come in. If anyone hears my voice and he opens the door, I will. Well, people fear that God will take everything away. And he could do that. He could do it even if you didn't open the door. But he wants us, when he wants us to open it, come in. Come in. Okay. Now what? What do we do, God? What do we do, God? And that's okay. Because Paul says it's in my weakness where he's strongest. So I remember one time, it was when I was doing youth here many, many years ago. And I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but I had everybody sitting in a circle. And I walked over to the door and opened. I'm like, Jesus, I am so glad you are here. Come on in, come on in. I've got a seat for you right here beside me. And so I walked in and I said, oh, I'm so thankful. You could have heard a pin drop, I think we probably talked about, do we realize that God is with us or Jesus is with us? But I think sometimes you've got to realize that we have to just ask him, talk to him. He tells us to pray without ceasing, right? And I used to remember as a kid, it's like, how in the world can you do that? We've got busy, we're working, whatever. How can you pray without ceasing? But as time goes on, you understand. Because really there's never a lull in, there doesn't have to ever be a lull in your conversation with the Lord. Even though nothing's coming out of your mouth, there's somewhere that Holy Spirit that's inside of you, it says he is interceding for us. So whether it's coming out of our mouth, we know that the Holy Spirit is constantly praying. And the wonderful thing is, he's praying according to the will of God. So whatever he asks, it's going to be a yes and amen because it's according to the will of God. So, realizing that Jesus is a friend, the Holy Spirit is a guide and a comfort. And they want that FaceTime with you. And so, like I said, in the beginning there was intimacy and in the end there will be. But let's open that door. When he knocks, let's open it and say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, come in. Help me. What do I do here? And through the difficulty that I've went through over the past few years, I learned really quickly that why, God? That's really not a good question. It's not the right question. Now, he'll still listen and he'll still comfort you. And, I don't think he ever really gave me an answer other than, JoBeth, ask a better question. Ask a better question than that. So it's like, okay, what do you want me to do? So it's like, then he's like, okay, I'll show you what you can do. And he'll go back to scripture. And, sometimes it was like, it got funny. It's like, God, I have to have an answer right now. And so, I would, and I'm serious. It was just amazing what God, he was so patient with me. He was probably like, oh, JoBeth needs this again, But, I want you to get to the point where you are so confident in the fact that Jesus loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his son. And Jesus loves you so much that he gave his life. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit loves you so much that he prays and pleads to the Father for you on a constant basis. So, It shouldn't be, he is saying, hey, I've given my part. I wrote this down in a really good way. Hold on a second. He said, it's a two-way street. So I've done it. So it's your move. It's your move. I'm not going to force myself on you, but I have such an abundant life waiting for you intimately. Okay? And you're going to find out what works for you. You know, and is it music that helps you? Do you need to hear the word of God through worship and through music? Do you need to hear it through the spoken word more often? Do you like to just sit and read and read? Do you like to just pray? Just sit and listen and pray? Is the best place for you in the shower? Or is it in the car? Or is it on your knees? Is it in a certain chair? Is it on a certain day or a certain time? Great. Great. Find your secret place. Just find it. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't look at the clock. If it's a minute, great. If it's an hour, great. The fact is that you have said, God, it is. I always call it the secret weapon. God, it's secret weapon time, which is Matthew 6:6, M66. You pull it out. M66, and it's your quiet. You go in, you shut the door, and that might not be a physical door. It's just a door in your mind. God, I am here. It's private. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to listen. I'm going to pray. I'm going to soak in your prayer. Whatever it is, you're just giving him some time. And you'll find out the more you do that, the more you'll hear his voice, the more you'll want to do it. And if you don't do it the next day, did God go, oh, erase that name out of the book of life? I used to think that. I kind of felt that way when I was a kid. Oh, no. Oh, God, forgive me. Before, you know, what, you know, and I'd go, oh, I've got to get saved again. You know, we want to get to the point where you know that you know that you know that you know. Jesus loves you. He desires time with you, face time, private time, outside these four walls. Inside these four walls should just be icing on the cake. Icing meaning you, it's just such a, God tells us to get together with our church. We learn more about him. We fellowship. We develop intimate relationships with other people in our lives. But he wants that 24/7. In your best, in your worst, when you look great, when you don't. He just wants you. He wants you to realize that he cares about you moment to moment to moment to moment. You know, one girl said, you got to embrace the season you're in. Because you don't know that your story in that moment is you're going to glean answers that you can then give the world. You know, like they'll come up to you, hey, I here's what I'm dealing with. You know what? I dealt with this and this is what God showed me. Or this is how he helped me. Yes, yes, it hurts. Yes, it's hard. But here's what he did for me. And so embrace that time and realize that just because your life is in a really difficult time, it doesn't mean that you're less spiritual or it doesn't mean that God doesn't care for you anymore. It's just life. And life is difficult. You know, consequences come because of decisions or you know, there's no control over life a lot of times. But there's definitely control over how you handle the situations and the circumstances that come into your life. And so if you have an intimate relationship with someone like God, I think you're going to be able to handle anything that steps in your way. Does that mean you're going to handle it with always joy and laughing? No, but you're going to be able to look at it through his eyes and his perspective and asking the right questions. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Husbands, wives, I want you to think back, you know, in your first few days and weeks of your relationship or girlfriends and boyfriends. Think back when you first met them or you first got an inkling that they kind of liked you, or you kind of liked them, and you began your relationship, you couldn't think of anything but them. You know, I can attest to that. I told Steve, poor Steve, I just kind of jump in. Intimacy with me now is crucial. And so, you know, when we first started talking, he's like, you know, could I call you sometime? I'm like, sure. I got to the word sure. It was a long way to get to sure and give him my number. And so that first conversation, I'm like, okay, there's really no point in staying on the surface. So let's just dive in. And I ask him so many questions. A lot of hours of talking, just because, you know, I wanted to get to know him, and I wanted him to get to know me. So we talked, we asked questions, and then you've got your eyes fixed on them. You feel that first love. That's why Jesus says he likes us to stay in that realm of the first love. It's such giddiness. It's intrigue. It's wonderful. And so I want you to, when you fix your eyes on him and you stay committed to, you know, God, I want to know, what do you want to teach me today about you? You know, a lot of times when it was time to do some Bible study or with the kids or with Vince through that time, a difficult time, I'd say, okay, let's go see what God has to say. Because I want to know. I want to know what God has to say for that moment and for that circumstance and or someone I'm going to meet later at the grocery store. You never know. You're going to find out that when you stay intimate with the Father, he can trust you. He can trust you in the moments of life, the moment to moment, the minutes, not just the big things of, oh, I'm going to speak here or I'm going to do that. He can trust you to say, that girl in the checkout line, she is struggling. Okay, God. What do you want me to say? Give me a scripture. I say that. And, you know, but he can trust you to do that because he knows you and you know him. And that word that you've put in your heart that he can use. So your story and fixing your eyes on him are perfect combination for him to use you in the moment to moments of life. And then you have to live in constant surrender. Constant surrender. Obedience. One study that I researched yesterday said you've got to, number one, faith. You know, intimacy takes faith. It's a life of faith. We've never seen God, but we trust and believe in him. In 1 Peter 1:8, it talks about the faith that we have, true intimacy. Its basis is in faith. I actually marked those. 1 Peter 1:8. Let me read that to you. You love him even though you have never seen him, though you do not see him now. You trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So it takes faith. You know, intimacy takes faith in someone we haven't seen. And then he said it takes worship, true worship. Intimacy takes true worship, and he described it as not worship was knowledge of God's word, and that was in Hosea 6:6, and it says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me. So true worship. Another third one he said is it takes much prayer. Intimacy takes much prayer. Matthew 6:6, that secret weapon, it says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And the thing I love about that secret weapon is it says when we decide to shut the door and go to the private place, who's there? Your Father. So he's there. Whenever you decide to shut a door, boom, he's there. He is there. He's going to answer your questions and help you walk through that. And then he said, for intimacy, you have to have obedience. Acts 10:36. It says, this is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. He's Lord of all. So we have to be obedient. He is in charge. He has the best scenario, the best picture, the best circumstance. He knows what needs to be done. So being obedient to him. And then his fifth point was suffering, and no one likes to talk about suffering. But it was in Philippians. You know, Paul talked about suffering with Christ, and a lot of us have lived enough of life that we have learned a little bit about the suffering of Christ just through situations we've went through, or about when we have to stand for the Lord in circumstances that people ridicule or hurt or talk down. But it gives us just a little glimpse of what Jesus did. And Jesus talked about suffering with joy. And I remember reading that scripture, and I'm like, I do not under or even comprehend how I can look at this with joy. But as you walk it and you try to and you read more and you talk more with the Lord, then it's like, okay, yeah, it hurt and this stinks and I don't like it, but I can kind of get a glimpse that I'm looking at this through your eyes and I kind of get a picture. And he's very patient. But the scripture that was Philippians 1:29, and it says, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We're in this struggle together, is what the writer was saying. So intimacy, you know, it's like, okay, God, do I just talk to him how I do it? Or what does it look like? Or what? And I wanted there to be scripture to go along with it. But it's a moment-to-moment choice. You know, it's something that is available. It's a treasure that Satan does not want you to find out about. He wants you to keep that religion that church will tell you, you know, come on Sundays and, you know, make sure you read your Bible and then, you know, make sure you help, you know, just want good things, but people tend to just make it a religion and check off the boxes and still stumble over, you know, every sin that they've always stumbled over. And the thing that you'll find out is if you run to the Father, you know, Jesus would go to the Father many times in private because he needed the strength of the Father. He needed revelation, and he knew that he was weak, as the man inside of him was weak, the human. So he runs to the Father and asks him questions and asks for him to pray and help him. So we need to do just like Jesus did. So he wants us to take it into our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. He's standing at the door. He's knocking. And he's asking. He's just waiting for you. And, you know, I want you to try it. Try it in your way. Try, find out what works best for you. Don't compare yourself to anyone. Just compare yourself to God. And you're going to find out that, oh, wow, you know, that was a really cool thing in Scripture. And it's just going to just put a little bit more in your foundation and give you a little bit more material and weapons to use in life. When someone comes to you, you know what? I remember there's something in Scripture. And God will bring that to you. And he tells you that he'll give you the right word to say in the right circumstance. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't prepare along the way. So just trust him. Trust in his love. Trust that he's there. Trust that it doesn't matter what you do or say or don't do or don't say, it doesn't mean he's not going to be there when you open that door. Run to the secret place. have faith, pray often, seek his face. You know, and it talks about if you will seek me wholeheartedly, you will find me. That's Jeremiah 29, 12 or 13, I think. You will find me because he's right outside the door knocking. So just learn what that looks like for you and trust him, believe him, call on him in everything. I remember one more little story. When my mom, she always taught children at church and dad, and she would use those stories where they'd fold the page and you'd see the picture and the writing was on the back, you know, and I love those stories. And I remember as a young kid pulling out of a lot of those stories that if the situation was going on, the little girl would say, you know, if someone hurt her or hit her or she wanted to talk to someone, the story would always say that she prayed to God for wisdom of what to say. And I really think as a young child, that imparted into me that I just have talked to the Lord like he's right next to me and like I'm probably his only desire. You know, I just always felt like, hey, he's there for me. But he is. He is. But he's there for everyone. He wants you to step into that intimate relationship with him. So pursue him. Fix your eyes on him. Embrace the season you're in. And he'll be there. As Val and the worship team begin worshiping, what are they doing? They're offering their time and their voice and their love for the Father. You know, and I want you to just take a step forward today in your intimacy and just say, God, I hear you knocking. I hear you knocking, and I'm going to open that door. And then just show me what. Show me what you want to do. And it's going to look different for all of us. And there might be similarities, but it's your story with him. It's what you will look like through the Holy Spirit. I've asked God, God, what do you want to look like through JoBeth? You know, help me to be who you are through me. I just give you myself. Would you all stand with me and just pray? And as they worship, if you want to come forward and you want to just say, God, I'm opening the door. If you want to kneel where you are, it's your seat. If you find your secret place right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your life, your example. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for stirring inside of me a love and a passion and a desire to know you more. Thank you that we're not here on our own, that we don't have to do this life alone, that we have partners, the best of the best of the best, with the greatest of wisdom. The fruits of the Spirit, Lord, can be ours. The gifts of the Spirit can be ours through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, God. So thankful. Lord, I pray that each person here, Lord, as they start their week, that they will understand who you are in a greater way, that they will give. They'll give you their time. They'll give you their heart and their soul, their desires, their dreams, their hopes. They'll talk to you, Lord, like you're sitting right there next to them, just like their best friend, because you are. You want to be. Lord, I pray that they can look at you with such desire. They can fix their eyes on you and just in wonder, in awe, in desperation. Because we have to have you, Lord. I've told you so many times, I have to have you. I cannot do this day without you, God. On the best of the best and on the worst of the worst, you are faithful and constant. Lord, we're going to worship you now. We're going to give you, some of us will be giving you a sacrifice of praise today because it's going to be hard. Others of us, Lord, are maybe in a better place, but you don't care. You are there. You open the door and you fling your arms open and you say, let the party begin. sometimes just have to do something, step out in faith and do something a little more than you normally do. You don't have to, but sometimes it really helps. You know, just when that gentleman talked about desperation, man, I just wanted to lay on my face before the Lord, and so I did. In the middle of a circle with a bunch of women, I just laid on my face. But love them. Pour your love out upon us today as we worship you. Pour out your love, Jesus. If you want to join me in the front, I'm just going to pour out my heart of love, of thankfulness. If you want to join me in the front, do so. Let's worship together.